Mexico claim to have always known that there have been people there. Their ancestors have been in those areas for thousands and thousands of years, well over 30,000 years, whereas the Western archaeologists are following some very, very rigorous, very, very testing scientific methods to try and prove with sufficient evidence that that's the case, that humans were in North America and were in the area which is now Mexico long before was originally thought by Westerners. They're getting close, but they're still sending materials in for carbon dating. They're testing soils and fragments in various layers of the ground.
From the Yukon to Mexico and now White Sands, intriguing discoveries are poised to rewrite history. If the evidence can be accurately dated.
Changing a paradigm in science is a monumental effort, for sure. And in archaeology, it definitely means that the lines of evidence all have to converge, to come together, to present a very cohesive story about the age and the significance of an archaeological site. And that's a very difficult thing to do.
For now, the prevailing theory says humans entered North America no more than 15,000 years ago. The email Cyprian Ardalion is about to open could change that. Radiocarbon dates for his human-cut bones have just landed.
Oh, no.
Carbon dating is going to provide even more confirming evidence for the theory being promoted by the archaeologists that humans were in North America way longer than 10, 15,000 years ago. So they're going to celebrate when they finally get to that point where they feel they have sufficient evidence that their claim has now been proven.
Native peoples have been saying for what feels like forever that they have been here since time immemorial, that we have this deep, venerable connection to the landscape that many people can't claim. White Sands validates everything that Native peoples have known for a long time and been telling everybody, but no one's really paid attention to.
Archaeologists have finally proven, according to the standards of Western science, what the indigenous people said that they've already known. The philosophical question that this brings to the forefront is indeed Western science biased against indigenous knowledge? Do the indigenous people have knowledge? Are the stories, the legends that have been passed on from generation to generation, are those stories representative of indigenous knowledge, which has been discounted by Westerners who believe that the only way to acquire knowledge is through these rigorous scientific tests that you heard were done in this archaeological investigation? Almost ad infinitum, you know, right? They took so many tests, so many archaeological digs, so many samples being sent to carbon dating labs to finally establish, according to the standard of proof required by Western science, what indigenous peoples say we already knew. The philosophical question that I'm putting forward here to think about, and I'll get your comments in a moment, Aaron, are does this example establish? Is it evidence that Western science has been biased against or discounted or devalued indigenous knowledge? And this speaks to, I'll let you think about this, to our common epistemological views in Western philosophy about what constitutes knowledge. But before we get to that philosophical discussion, I just wanted to read a couple clips from an article that I found on oral tradition from the Milwaukee Public Museum. And it talks about oral traditions in various cultures, especially indigenous cultures. And I don't have time to read a lot of this, but I just wanted to quickly do a quick scan of storytelling. I'm going to read little phrases from this article. Talks about the Great Lakes spirit world. The world of the Great Lakes Indians was filled with a host of spirits which inhabited trees, plants, bird, animals. Great Lakes oral traditions are full of anthropomorphic animals, birds, and fish that became the totems of various clans. the otter, muskrat, skunk, beaver, heron, and so on, are all well known to the Great Lakes tribes through their mythic behavior. Cosmic phenomena were also considered spirits, including the sun, the moon, thunder, lightning, the four winds. In addition to the benign spirits, the native world was peopled with a throng of fearsome ones, ghosts, the water monster, and the wendigo, a cannibalistic giant who stalked the winter woods in search of people to devour. There was the culture hero and demigod Winnebago. Winnebago's grandmother was the earth, and he had a dual role of trickster and bringer of good things. With respect to the traditional standard in Western philosophy, which is that knowledge requires three things: a justified, true belief. With respect to that standard in Western philosophy, how can we understand indigenous legends, storytelling that have been passed from generation to generation? In the case of the history of humans in North America, Western scientists actually proved through, to their own satisfaction, to the standards of Western science, proved that the indigenous peoples were right all along. There was a convergence of Western science and indigenous knowledge. We have other oral traditions of the indigenous people, which I think we ought to be skeptical of, about tricksters in the forest and spirits and that kind of thing. Justified true belief, that's the standard Western philosophical. Those are the three requirements for knowledge. Supposing I walk by a clock in the town square. Unbeknownst to me, the clock is stuck. It's broken. It's stuck at 9 o'clock. It's showing 9 o'clock. It always shows 9 o'clock, but I don't know that. I'm walking through the town square and I look up at the clock and it says 9 o'clock. Now it just so happens that it is 9 o'clock. I just happen to be walking through the town square at 9 o'clock and the clock says 9 o'clock, but unbeknownst to me, the clock is broken. I claim knowledge that it's 9 o'clock. The problem is that unbeknownst to me, the clock was broken. So I wasn't really justified in believing it was 9 o'clock. I was relying upon a broken clock. I just got lucky. I got lucky and it happened to be 9 o'clock. It was just a coincidence. So is this situation analogous to the archaeological situation? Do indigenous peoples have all kinds of mythologies that have been passed from generation to generation? And did they just get lucky with this particular mythology that there had been humans in Mexico 60,000 years ago or more? Did they just get lucky that tradition, oral tradition, happened to be correct? Whereas they weren't actually justified in believing that. Is oral tradition sufficient justification for a belief? Or is oral tradition insufficient justification? And every so often you're going to get lucky with your oral tradition. So that's the question here. Is Western science biased against indigenous knowledge? Or do indigenous people, in fact, not have knowledge? They just have oral traditions, which sometimes get lucky and happen to be right.
I have a lot of thoughts, and I've been slowly stewing over them as we've been listening to the presentation from CBC Gem. It's, I think, a difficult question to say, does Western science have a bias against indigenous knowledge? And the reason I say it's difficult is because we have to be clear about what the context is. So in the specific context of this question, when we're asking historical questions, generally speaking, we look for a broad array of resources and evidence as possible. So in a science such as archaeology, that's why they're sending for so many samples and sending for as much evidence as they can possibly find. Because even with as much evidence as you can possibly find, there's still some room for error and there's still some possible room for interpretation and changes along the line. And the scientists know that. Ancient history is not as definitive as you might like to believe. It used to be thought, for instance, that the Aztecs were a very peaceful society that studied the stars, and that studying the stars was something they just did for normal parts of their society, and it had nothing to do with anything else. But then more recently, there were some discoveries that showed that astrology within their culture had to do with part of a ritualized form of warfare. Even though the past doesn't change, our interpretation of the past can change. That's the burden of both the historian and the scientist, of knowing that whatever our findings are at the present, they will be open to the interpretation of future scientists or future archaeologists. So that's kind of my starting point on this discussion, is that within the realm of, say, historical knowledge, part of the role of, I guess, the professional in these fields is to have a certain amount of skepticism before you say you have knowledge. But again, that's kind of the Western perspective.
So the question is the Western perspective legitimate, or is it biased? Let me take the position, for the sake of argument, that the Western position is biased, because after all, in this archaeological example, indigenous people knew all along that there had been humans in North America way, way back. They turned out to be right. Certainly, Western science, Western scientists, Western archaeologists were blind. They had a big blind spot where they could have just turned to the indigenous peoples and said, oh, you guys have knowledge. That's good enough for us. Well, what about the indigenous claims about there being monsters in the woods and spirits and other kinds of characters, you know, Hansel and Gretel type folktale things from the woods? Would they also be correct? The response here is that just because indigenous peoples, through their stories and mythologies, happen to be right this particular time about how long human ancestors had been living in North America, that doesn't it doesn't follow from that they had knowledge any more than I had knowledge that it was 9 o'clock, but I didn't know the clock was broken. I'm skeptical here that racism is involved. I think rigor is involved. I'm taking the position here that Western science is not intrinsically racist. It's simply rigorous. That Western scientists, as exemplified in this archaeological example, don't consider oral tradition to be sufficient proof of a theory, but rather they need physical proof. They need to actually do the carbon dating and test the samples and find repeatable, you know, evidence, physical evidence, not simply my father told me and or my mother told me and her mother told her or her father told her. The mere fact that in one case, or maybe even in multiple cases, that legend turns out to be accurate, it doesn't follow from that legend constituted knowledge. It just was legend that sometimes might be right and sometimes might be wrong. So is Western science biased, or is it simply rigorous?
Well, to step back a bit, for instance, we could ask the question of, is the Trojan War an actual historical event? And the reason I ask this question is because, well, that's something that we have historical documents purporting that it happened. But those historical documents are mostly in the form of essentially plays or songs, kind of like ballads. Those documents are written in Greek. Generally speaking, though, it's somewhat a matter of contention whether or not those documents are actually historically accurate. We don't really know some, but the general feeling is that that is the case, that they are accurate, just because that's the feeling within academia at the moment. It is also, Kate, you could also say, for instance, that it's the case that it's the feeling in academia that the current indigenous stories are not correct. But in either case, the evidence for saying they're correct or incorrect can be pretty shaky, in which case, should we allow individuals in certain contexts to essentially believe what they believe to be correct, because they might have different types of evidence that don't necessarily fit into the scientific framework? That's, I think, a legitimate question. I think it's also a legitimate question to think about whether or not science is actually able to understand certain claims, because when you were listening to the scientists, they're trying to find out very specific things, right? They're trying to figure out migration patterns of humans during the Ice Age. They're trying to find out what specific time period humans might have migrated to North America. So in their mind, they already have a preconceived conception of what already happened, and they're just trying to fit the new evidence into that paradigm and into that system. They are coming to this with bias. They already have a preconceived notion of what already happened in human history and what should essentially what they should find. Do the indigenous people have less of a right to say, well, you know, we don't think that's the story that happened because we have sources that say otherwise? Well, let's say those sources are legitimate. Then we have to ask the question, well, how do we resolve the differences between those two sources? Now, in this matter, they use the science of archaeology to test and find evidence and weigh the two records against each other, so to speak. So then the question becomes, well, why are we using archaeological science to be the arbiter of this dispute? Is that the right decision? And I think that essentially is because that's something that the majority of people within the scientific community and within Western society would relate with and would accept as truth. So it's less that I think the indigenous communities are doing this for the sake of their own histories, and more that they would like the Western world to understand their own histories, validate them, which I think is worth the attempt. It's well worth the attempt.
I'm not sure that I can accept, not that this was necessarily your argument exactly, Aaron, but I'm not sure that I could accept a claim that indigenous knowledge acquired through storytelling, or storytelling from any culture, even North American culture or European culture, and you just pointed out where there are stories regarding the Trojan War and so on, but I'm not sure that I can accept that it's just a different but equal form of knowledge. Seems to me there needs...
I would not say either that equal is a term that really applies here. And I think this is...
Or equally valid, or you know, equal of equal weight, but of different nature. I can't accept that.
I think that it's the problem here is that we want to say that all forms of knowledge are equivalent, and
I don't want to say that.
If we were to say that all forms of knowledge are equivalent, or at least that all forms of knowledge have to meet our philosophical litmus test of being justified true belief, then, you know, we need to think about, like, well, what is enough justification, and what makes a belief true? It's not as concrete as we might imagine, right? Like, there's definitely some nuance to it, especially with regards to how individuals and communities find meaning and validation through their own experiences. I don't think it's kind of cut and dry where we can say, you know, we have knowledge and those categories are equivalent. I think saying that we have essentially, you know, we have this scientific knowledge and that should be equivalent to the knowledge of oral tradition, I think that removes the context of both of those forms of knowledge. And I would say that that's somewhat dangerous.
On a meta level, what's at stake here is the whether there is an objective world, or whether reality is simply whatever a person or a group of people or a culture take it to be. I think that's what's really at stake. If you want to argue that if what's meaningful to a group of people is their oral tradition, and what's meaningful to a group of people is that there are cannibalistic giants who stalk winter woods in search of people to devour, reading from this Milwaukee Public Museum article, if that's what's real to you, then that's just as real as what archaeology can prove by doing archaeological digs. If that's your position, your meta position, then okay, so be it. I'm not sure that I would want to live in a world where that was widely accepted. I still cling to to this traditional view that there is some objective reality out there, and knowledge in some way is expected to conform to that objective world, although I know it's becoming increasingly popular, and certainly even in the field of STS now, there are those who really poo-poo the idea of trying to conform beliefs to some objective real world. I find that disturbing. I don't want to live in a society where people are scared of, you know, cannibalistic giants walking the woods, and where that becomes just as much a reality as what archaeology can prove. Seems to me that in the case at hand, archaeologists would not have been justified in simply believing out of hand oral tradition, because if they did, they should also believe that there are cannibalistic giants living in the woods. So it seems to me that the Western scientists were not being racist. They were simply being rigorous in trying to establish some correspondence with an actual physical world, and that stories are simply not sufficient justification.
I think on the other side of things, from the perspective of the indigenous scientists, they are essentially doing exactly what we expect scientists to do, and that's to follow up on pieces of evidence and to follow that evidence where it leads. And sometimes that leads to unexpected places. We're running into a little bit of a false equivalency of, you know, we should just accept this person's truth claim or accept this person's truth claim. And I don't think that's what science is about in any case. It's never about just accepting someone's claim. We always have to consider multiple points of evidence. And I don't think that's what the indigenous scientists were saying either, because they are legitimate scientists. They're not just going to say, you know, we believe this, and so we think it's right. They're saying, okay, well, we believe this. We think that there may be possibly sufficient evidence to validate this belief scientifically. And so we're going to follow this up and test it rigorously to see if it can hold up. It's not easy to shift a scientific paradigm. The broader question here is less about, you know, whether or not we take the frame of stories to be a reality, and more in the specific context is whether or not oral tradition has the same rate, has the same essential precedent as evidence in the archaeological setting as other textual evidence. Because written record in archaeology has long been, you know, seen as being better evidence than oral tradition. And so whether or not in some situations oral tradition can be considered as weighty as evidence of written records, I think that is a legitimate question for an archaeological historian or scientist.
There's so much evidence that word of mouth, oral tradition, what people say, is not reliable. Eyewitness testimony to events, to accidents, to is notoriously unreliable. Have you ever played a game of telephone when you were a kid? Just the way that messages can get skewed and changed when they travel from person to person. And on a large scale, oral tradition and mythology, I just gave a number of examples of how I would say it's just completely outlandish. You know, the idea about spirits in the woods. I think I have ample evidence that oral tradition is, although it can be confirming evidence, it's certainly not strong evidence. It's not sufficient evidence for a claim. You know, one thing that bothers me is that at least from the information given in this documentary that I played earlier, I couldn't hear where the archaeologists were racist. You know, the information given was that they were being rigorous and they were following scientific standards. True, they're Western scientific standards, but they're rigorous and they demand sufficient evidence and confirmation and so on. Why does that make them racist if they simply didn't accept blindly the oral traditions of the indigenous people?
I think you ask a really good question there about what can be racist about Western science. Where does the bias lie? A lot of it comes from just having a preconceived narrative of human history. The idea that, for instance, this can't be correct. It can't be the case that indigenous peoples were in North America before 20,000 years, because we have a model that has been, you know, tested and created by the best scientists we've ever had. That model says that that can't be the case, so therefore it just can't be the case that indigenous people were here before 20,000 years ago. just because, you know, we have a model that is the product of the brightest minds in human history doesn't mean that the brightest minds in human history had access to the evidence and technologies that we have today, and that all of the studies on every facet and piece of this human history and model that we put together has been tested. Just because we have a general model that was based off of the best evidence that people had in the past doesn't mean that will prove true in every single circumstance and context. In science, it's very easy to overly rely on general models rather than trying to prove and figure out every little point of every specific situation. So I think that's just, you know, part of science and part of being a good professional scientist.
But I think the outcome in this archaeological project really shows that Western science is flexible, is malleable, can change when the evidence supports it, because the archaeologists, through their rigorous methods, were finally able to convince the world, the Western world at least, that they're right, and the model that they were promoting displaced the previous model. So I think that's evidence that Western science does work. It does work, and it is responsive to new facts and new theories and new models when they can be shown through rigorous methods to be correct.
But then the question comes is, you know, why were they able to make this discovery now versus in the past? And I think you could create a pretty strong argument for potential racist bias there, where they only knew to ask these questions because they had consulted with some indigenous people groups. They hadn't ever made that consultation and, you know, been willing to at least listen to them and, you know, get that foot in the door of research money and research grants to have that first study. You know, Western science might never have discovered
right.
this fact.
But they did.
Because we essentially overcame our previous bias and decided to open the door to a new perspective and new question.
Okay, good point. Thank you very much, Aaron Wang. I am Michael Robert Kaditz. You have been listening to this kind of unusual iteration of the Canadian Philosophy Show.
You can find archived recordings of the Canadian Philosophy Show on mixcloud.com/thecanadianphilosophyshow and tcps.podbean.com.
This is Bird Note. When Jerome Gaw got the chance to volunteer at the Aquarium of the Pacific, he was stoked. He had loved sharks and marine life since he was a kid. But for his interview, he had to give a presentation on a creature he wasn't so familiar with.
They asked me to prepare information on the great blue heron, but I didn't know a lot about birds at the time.
So he read up on the bird.
And I learned that great blue herons are the largest North American heron. And being somebody also of larger physical stature, I could kind of relate to that right away.
Jerome kept practicing his presentation as he drove around LA.
They're found in fresh and saltwater environments. They stand very still. They're very good at hunting. They'll eat anything. They're very observant. They just can stand very still for a long time.
And he aced the interview.
On my first day at the aquarium for volunteering, I walked up toward the staff entrance and I heard the sound and I looked up and a great blue heron flew overhead. It was pretty